This morning I'd like to introduce Josh Davis. Josh is going to be our guest speaker this morning. He is here with his wife Samantha. They have three boys, Grayson, Landon, and Caleb. They also have a beautiful little daughter. Her name is Sydney. They're from Snellville, Georgia. We were fortunate yesterday. Josh and his family came up and spent the day with our youth group in Pigeon Forge. And then yesterday afternoon, we had a Devo and a cookout. So if you haven't met Josh and his family, I encourage you to do so after service. Josh.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to speak with you, speak to you. I'm not going to go into a whole lot about myself. If you want to know, you can ask me. I'm willing to tell you. I will tell you that the elders here had heard that I spoke quite a bit at the previous congregation I was at. And I did do that quite a bit. But I hated to tell them just because I spoke a lot didn't mean I was any good. So, you'll get what you get this morning. On our way up here on Friday, we had a little bit of a snag. We had some trouble with our vehicle. Have any of you ever had that before? Car trouble? This year seems to be the year of trouble for our van. We've had one thing after another kind of go wrong. We actually had our transmission rebuilt less than a month ago. And on our way up here Friday, our transmission went out. So we'll be getting that fixed when we get home. But it kind of helped me, because it kind of goes along with my lesson this morning. If you'll notice, there's a big word up here on the screen. And for some of you, this may be making you a little bit uncomfortable to hear the word failure. And I hate to say it this morning, but I'm speaking to a bunch of failures. And you're probably thinking that's not the way you should start out. And you're probably right, but I would not say that if I were not one of them, okay? All right, because you can lump me right in there with you. And the truth is, we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear the word failure. We don't like to hear when we're a failure. We don't like to have our failures pointed out. But that doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen or that it hasn't already happened to us in our life. At the beginning of this year and at the beginning of every year, people do this thing where they make this list of stuff, right? What do we call those? We got resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. But did you know that half the people don't even make a resolution? And you know why? Because they know they're not going to keep it. Because they're afraid they're going to fail. That if they put it out there, if they put it on paper, and if they make it a goal, they're afraid they're not going to meet it. Right? And we do that not just with New Year's resolutions, but there's a lot of other times when we hold back from things or we don't do things because we're afraid we're going to fail. And the truth is, we might. But we can't let that hold us back. How many of you in here are new parents? Do we have any new parents? Or maybe not brand new, but maybe you've had a recent addition? Anyone? No, we got some. We got some. Okay. I thought I saw some babies in here. Okay, my wife and I, we have a 14-month-old. That's our newest. So it's not, she's not quite brand new. She's got a few miles, few, I don't know how you put that, months. We'll put it that way. All right, but if you're a new parent or if you've got a new addition, okay, you know that when you have a new child, what comes along with that? Right? A crib, a bassinet, you know, all kinds of new furniture. And if you are that new parent and you've had to put those things together, you know what failure is. Or if you have one coming, dads, I'm sorry. Or moms, I know some moms that put all that furniture together. They know, they know what I'm talking about too. All right, how many of you ever seen these things? Maybe you've seen them on the internet, you've seen them on Facebook. People share these things, and all it says is fail. Have you ever seen those before? They have these different memes. Well, I want to share a couple things with you. I think the battery might be dead. All right, are you controlling that? Okay. This is a perfect example of failure. I'm going to put that right there. Okay. All right, I've got a couple of pictures, and you just click through them one at a time for me. But you can go ahead and click on the next one. Okay, well, here's an example. This is someone's 2015 resolutions, right? Have you ever seen this before when someone makes a resolution? They just keep the same one. You just cross out the year. I'm sure 2016 and 17 look the same. All right, we do that. If we don't make it, we'll just roll it over to the next year, okay? You ever seen these? You had one job. I don't think they were paying attention. Okay, here's an example, right? This is what the crib looked like when I put ours together, right? You ever put it together? It doesn't quite look like the picture on the book, the instructions, okay? And this is one of my favorites, right? All those great things on Pinterest you see, and you try to copy them, right? He nailed it. We're going to fail. We're going to have things in life that we're not perfect at because we're not perfect. We're not perfect human beings. We're not perfect people. Okay? And God knows that. God knew that in the beginning when the very first human beings He created did what? Failed. Right? They had one job. Don't eat of this tree, of this fruit. And they couldn't do it. Right? So it's built into us. It's going to happen. All right? So we have this question. Have you ever failed God? All right? And I think we can all answer this. And I think that this may be the wrong question. I think the better question we need to ask is how many times have we failed God? Right? How many times has that happened in our life? Have we done something and gone against what God wanted for us in our life? Because the truth is, we fail. All right, Romans 3, verse 10, Paul says it. He's telling the Christians here that they're going to fail, that they have failed, right? He says in chapter 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. And then if you go over a few more verses, verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right, it's right there. Paul's just laying it out. He's saying it happens. So what do we do with that? Now sometimes when we make mistakes and we fail, or we feel like we have failed God, sometimes we start to feel this guilt. We start to get down on ourselves. And sometimes we let that failure hold us back on things. We let that get to us and sink in so much that we don't want to attempt other things in life. And we don't want to do something else because we don't like that feeling and we don't want to feel it again. But when we don't do something, isn't that also a kind of failure? God already says, this is going to happen. You're going to fail. Okay, the question we have to ask is, how many times has that happened? All right, Romans 2, verse 22 through 23 says, you who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? All right, so he's talking to these Christians, and here he's more specifically speaking to the Jews because they liked to point out the failures of the Gentiles. Right? They like to say, oh, you know, these people right here that God is allowing to still be saved and to still be covered by grace, you know, they don't follow the law and they don't do all these things and they commit adultery and they do this and they do that. And he says, but don't you do the same thing? Are there times when we sometimes like to point out the failure of someone else? Maybe it's someone outside the church. Maybe it's someone inside the church. And we say, you know, this person is not doing this right, or this person's, you know, is messed up here. But God says, you know, you have too. And I think it's important for us to realize and to notice the failures in our own life. Because they're right there. And sometimes the ones in our own life are even more in our face than someone else's. We just try to push them off. The truth is, even the best of us will fail. Now, I've not met everyone here, and I don't know everyone personally. I don't know your life, but I know my life. And I know my failures. Right? And even some of the best of us, some of the people that I've known that I would look at and I could tell, you know, this is the perfect example of a Christian. And you could see it. You see it in their life. You see it in how they act every day. And you see it in how they live. But I can tell you, knowing those people, that I know some of their failures. And even some that you would say are the best Christians have things that they've done wrong. The Bible is full of those people. Now, how many of you know a man by the name of David? All right, one of the people in the Bible says this is a man after God's own heart. Right? This is God's guy. Okay? But if we read through the life of David and we read through everything that happened in his life and everything he did, we find failure, don't we? Right? 2 Samuel chapter 11, that's kind of a big one. Okay? All right, read that. So we're not going to read through all that, but I'm going to give you a paraphrase of it, okay? First thing that happens, all right, it's already up here on the screen. Right? Where did David go wrong? Well, first, all right, he saw this woman. He was out up in his palace, in his temple. He was looking out, and he saw this woman by the name of Bathsheba, right? She's over there, and she's, you know what she's doing. We don't have to get into all that. But he sees her, and he thinks she is beautiful. And he admires her, and he says, you know, that is someone else's wife. I'm going to leave her alone. No, that's not what he says. Right? He says, I want her. All right? So he takes someone else's wife and sleeps with her. This woman named Bathsheba. And then, that wasn't enough. Then he goes on from there. And he deceives her husband. Right? Her husband's been gone and she becomes pregnant. And he says, well, you know, he's gone. He's off at this war. You know, he's going to know it's not his, for obvious reasons. So he says, I'm going to try to trick him so he thinks that this is his child. Okay, so he deceives her husband Uriah. That doesn't work. Okay, and if you read through the story, you see that. So then what's he do? Then he says, well, I'm going to send Uriah back to the battlefield, and I'm going to put him out in the front. And I'm going to tell everyone else, ease back. Okay, so he has him killed. And you think, okay, this can't get any worse. All right, but if you go on, then he takes Bathsheba for his wife. This is God's guy. This is a guy after God's own heart. And you read these verses, you read this chapter, and you think, really? This is the kind of guy that God's looking for? You see the failure. So how do we have hope in that? Well, I can tell you, because God is looking for failures. And just because we fail on different levels does not mean that God believes we're hopeless. Just because we fail and we stumble and we fall and we have sin doesn't mean that our faith is gone. There's a short video, and I think this is the next slide. Yes. I'm going to show this video. Actually, back it up real quick. All right, I'm going to show this video, and it kind of helps give a little bit more of an understanding of some of the failures that you find in the Bible. Not just David's, but some of the other guys that God really counted on and were some of the ones that we, in our Bible stories when we're growing up, these are the people that we read about. Okay? So let's watch this video real quick and then we'll come back to it.
All right, next up, King David.
Thanks for coming, King David. What qualifies you to be our next small group leader?
Well, what was that word you used before my name?
King?
Yeah, King, right. How many of those am I up against?
My strengths. Plagues. I'm pretty good with the staff.
Can't decide who gets the last brownie? Cut it in two. Boom. Wisdom.
Parting large bodies of water. Desert survival skills.
Weaknesses.
Mountain climbing. Commandment retrieval.
Does that look weak to you?
And I can make a pretty mean goat sausage.
Okay, I mean, maybe haircuts. Women. Whose isn't?
So I lied. I said my wife was my sister. They were going to kill me. Why are we even getting into this?
I'm just not sure we're comfortable with you in a leadership position.
Look,
Jesus Christ himself called you Satan.
He was trying to make a point.
Get thee behind me, Satan. I believe is the exact quote.
Bathsheba. I knew you were going to go there.
It was a rock to the back of the head. I really regret that it happened.
And that's when you slept with the maid?
My wife said she was fine with it.
Abraham.
What?
Come on.
Okay, timeline. First I slept with his wife.
No. I didn't kill Christians.
Then I lied to him.
I was just watching people's coats.
Then I had him killed, okay?
They killed Christians.
It's a long time ago.
Besides, that was a different guy. That was Saul.
I've never killed anyone. What? You got somebody giving you beef? Huh? You need something taken care of? Where's the app? Yo, bring it, huh?
Didn't you deny Christ 3 times?
No.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No.
Okay, I did.
No, I've never killed anyone. Why would you even ask that question?
This is the guy.
Hold on, I mean, I do have some questions about my qualifications. I've never been to seminary.
Oh, you'll do fine.
I really don't have a whole lot of experience.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people?
Sure.
Do you have a harem?
No, I don't have a harem.
All right, we're good then. Thank you.
Well, let me think about this first.
Oh, got her.
Oh, wait a second. Look who has them. Still got the tablets.
God uses imperfect people, right? They're all throughout the Bible. You know, sometimes we question our own abilities. Sometimes we question whether we are the right person for the job because we know the failures that we have. Right? But if you look at the Bible and you kind of stack yourself up to some of these guys that are the, you know, God's chosen people, the ones that he sent out and had do his will, you start to look at your own self and you say, well, you know, I actually don't look that bad. You know, the guy at the end, he says, no, I've never killed anyone. Why would you ask that? Okay. But if you look through the Bible, some of the people that were God's chosen people had. And they'd done a lot of other things. Even though we fail at things sometimes, and even though we make mistakes, our faith in God never should. Our faith should still be there holding us up at those times when we feel like we're the least deserving person there is. And David knew what that feeling was, because David knew, he didn't at first, right? But then when Nathan came to him and started to tell him in somewhat of a subtle way what he had done, he realized, I've hurt God. I've sinned against him. But David still had faith, even in that moment, even in that time when he had made his biggest mistakes. Right, 2 Samuel 12, verse 15 through 16, he says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. And it says that David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth. All right, if you go on, all right, verse 22, he says, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. Right? David still had faith. He still had faith that, you know, maybe God will look on me and he'll have pity and he'll have mercy on me and on this child. Right? He hadn't completely given up hope. He hadn't completely lost his faith in God, even though he says in chapter 12, 13, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. Sometimes when we do that and we have those sins and we have those mistakes and those failures, we say, you know, how can God forgive me? How can God look at me and say that I'm one of His? But I can tell you, we can have faith because God says just because we stumble, just because we fall, and just because we do things wrong, doesn't mean He doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that He doesn't have faith in us. When I became a father, I started to understand God so much more. And some of you who are parents can attest to this. Right? When you have children, there are times when your children don't always listen to you. Right? I know that's a shocker. But it happens. Trust me, it happens. And it doesn't get any better when they're teens. Not that y'all would do anything like that, right? No, no. These are perfect teens right here. All right, it happens. And sometimes it happens over and over again. Sometimes you tell your children, you know, do this. And then a minute later you tell them, do this. It's the same thing you told them earlier. And then you know how it goes. It takes at least three more times. And they're still not doing what you asked them to do. And I know now how God felt all throughout the Old Testament. Right? He tells His people, go this way. Do this. Follow me here. And they just keep disobeying Him. Right? They keep failing over and over again. But God is still there. He's still right there with them. And He's still saying, you know, I have faith in you. Our faith should not fail, and neither does God's. Look at what it says, 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. It says, Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Right? He's telling David, you have done this awful thing, or these awful things, but God has taken that away from you. He has forgiven you of that. Right? You're not going to be killed. And then David himself, you listen to his words in Psalms 51, verse 1, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. And the Bible says it's exactly what God has for us. He has a love that no matter what we do, no matter how many times we fail, He's going to be there. He promises us the same kind of love, the same kind of faithfulness. Paul says, if you go back to Romans, Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, he says, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. And Paul here is talking to them, and he's talking about Abraham and the kind of faith that he had, and it's the same kind of faith, he says, we have today. It's a faith that comes through believing. And he says, if you have faith, he says, God will be faithful to you. He will keep His promise. In Romans 3, verse 3 and 4, he says, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Because whatever we do does not matter, does not have any bearing on what God has promised to those who are His. So even if we fail, even if we mess up, if we still believe in God, if we still are following Him and have faith in Him, God says, I will save you. I will be there for you, because God's faithfulness forgives all of our failures. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of who He is. Romans 4, verse 6 through 8 says, David, right, we've talked about him. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord never counts against them. Isn't that a great feeling as a Christian? To know that even though we fail and even though we mess up time and time again and we make mistakes, we have in the past and we're going to in the future, that God says, I'm not going to count those things against you because you are mine. And my Son paid for you with His blood. And even though you have failures, my Son, who was perfect, sacrificed Himself for you. Right? It's great, but it's so hard sometimes to understand. And I ask myself all the time, why would He do that? Why would God give Himself for me, a sinner? And I don't know that I'll ever fully understand it. But He says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. God says, we sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. But He says, I have set something up for you to get rid of all of that, to wash all of that away so that you can be clean. And so every time you mess up, it's okay. You don't have to be in fear of death. You don't have to be in fear of the failure, because you're going to fail. He says, if you're mine, I'm faithful, I will forgive you. Some of you here this morning may not be there just yet. You may be someone who just started coming. You may be someone who just started hearing about this man named Jesus. And you may not know what all this is about, and you may not know that Jesus will forgive you of all those mistakes. And if you're one of those people, I could tell you this morning that He will. And that you don't have to live your life carrying around the guilt of all those failures. Because Jesus says, when I wash you clean, you are clean. And you can have confidence of where you're going to be. So if you're here this morning and you haven't heard that and you haven't taken that step to be washed, to be cleansed, to be baptized, to have those things in your life forgiven, you have opportunity to do that. And it's not just this morning. You can do that whenever you want. But if you're here this morning, you haven't made that decision and you want to, or you want to just know more about what that is and how you can do it and how you can take that step. If you would do that this morning, if you'd let one of these elders here know, one of these men know, we'd love to help you with that. If you let us know while we sing this song.